It is the JR Sport Brief Show here on the Infinity Sports Network. I'm coming to you live from Atlanta, Georgia. So much love and thanks to everybody tuned in all over the country. I'm in Atlanta. Thank you to our producer in New York City, Ryan Botcher. We've been hanging out for an hour. Where have you been? The show gets started every weekday, 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 Pacific. You can always tune in on the free Odyssey app. You can lock in on your local Infinity Sports Network affiliate. You got SiriusXM, it's channel 375. You got a smart speaker. Ask the speaker to play the Infinity Sports Network. Hey, we talked about Tyrese Halliburton. Pacers are up against the wall, backs against the wall. They're in a 3-2 hole. And now Halliburton is going to have an MRI on his calf. Not looking good for people who are fans of the Pacers. Shohei Ohtani, he was hurt. Yeah, Tommy John again. He came back, made his debut on the mound last night for the Dodgers. And speaking of debuts, in a few minutes, we'll talk about Rafael Devers, who showed up today, had his opening press conference with the San Francisco Giants. We'll talk about this man and how he'll fit in. We got Matt Moore joining us to talk some hoops from the Action Network. He'll be here in about 20 minutes from now. Hey, we got the Stanley Cup Finals. It could be over tonight for the Edmonton Oilers. The Florida Panthers could go back to back. And so we have a lot to discuss, a lot to get into. Hey, you want to call me up? You could do that too. 888-710-4ISN. That's 888-710-4ISN. You could also find me online. I am everywhere at JR Sport Brief. Man. The National League West is packed. Got the Dodgers, the Giants now have Devers. I don't think it's going to make that huge of a difference. If you're the Dodgers, you probably go, who cares? Got the Padres out there, Diamondback, and forget them. But the Rockies are just a massive punching bag for everybody in that division. So yeah, everybody just feasts and eats and beats up on the Colorado Rockies. And now we have Rafael Devers, which was a crazy trade. We learned about it on Sunday evening. This man would be moving from Boston, all $313 million, well, now less than that, is going to be heading out towards San Francisco, where he will be under contract until 2033. This is one of those things that's like a massive gut punch, a massive adjustment when you think about the current sports landscape, that a man who initially signed a 10-year, $313 million contract could be moved. And Devers did not want to move from third base when they brought in Bregman. He did not want to go to first when Cassis went down. He just wanted to do his own thing. I think regardless of how the Red Sox addressed him, I think he was being a jerk. I think they're paying you that much money. At minimum, you could at least try. He's a jerk, and now he's gone. Rafael Devers, a man of few words, also a man of well, speaking of translator, I know his translator is not stealing from him. Rafael Devers was asked about his new situation, his new job, his new space. And he had to answer questions about being back in Boston. Listen to what he had to say about bad communication with the Sox.
Like I said before, that's in the past. I'm moving forward. I really don't want to talk about it.
I really like his answers, by the way.
Wow. This is what, listen, man. Typical athlete playbook. Force your way out. Go to a new place. Don't want to talk about the past. And quite frankly, the guy that you just heard who was happy with it used to play for the team. He's now the president. Still can't believe it. I'm expecting him to sit behind, home plate right now. Crouch is Buster Posey. This is what he had to say about how this trade took place and when.
Yeah, it's something that has been in the works for 3 or 4 weeks. Zach had conversations with their group, and then eventually myself and Craig Breslow the last week to 10 days. And it was good. It was obviously negotiations. Things are going to go back and forth. I was texting with Craig today, and we're just thanking each other for the candor and the respect that went into this negotiation.
Oh, wow. At least this wasn't like Luca, just let's do it in the Quiet of the Night and Get Her Done. And by the way, Craig Breslow had to answer things a little bit different. He didn't acquire the star player. He got rid of the star player and brought in some prospects. He was asked, Craig Breslow, if he needed to improve his communication with his players based on whatever happened with Rafael Devers, and this is what he said.
I don't know if this outcome would have played out any differently. I think that there's a decent chance that it wouldn't have, but I absolutely need to have the humility to think back on the interactions and figure out what I could have done better.
Oh, boy. Here we go. They got this man eating humble pie now. Because Rafael, and I get it. Two wrongs don't necessarily make a right. The Red Sox could have done better with their communication. And Rafael Devers, most certainly as a guy getting paid, he could have done better by, I don't know, just going out there and trying. I think 9 out of 10 baseball players would have said, you know what? I like my job. I'm going to go give the best shot I got. Rafael Devers said, no. He said, I'm not doing that. And we heard via rumor that in the offseason, still in spring training, that Rafael Devers, even that far back, was asked, you know, hey, do you want to leave? Or he went to management and said, if you don't want me here, you don't want me to do this, then just go ahead and trade me. This is what Craig Breslow had to say about whether or not Rafael Devers wanted a trade out of town.
There were times during the course of conversations with Rafi's camp, where they had indicated that perhaps a fresh start would be best for both sides. We were committed to trying to work through this. And like Sam said, ultimately, we weren't able to achieve that.
And so the answer is yes. He said, I don't want to be here. And they got him the hell up on out of here. Maybe that's why by the time Casas went down, he's just like, nah, bro, I'm not going to first base. I'm going to a new team. I'm not doing this at all. Well, Rafael Devers says he doesn't want to think about the past. He's focused in on the future. Rafael Devers was asked why being in San Francisco is better than being in Boston for him. Listen.
I'm moving forward from the situation in Boston. Now I'm looking ahead with being a San Francisco Giant, and I think that I'm just going to compete.
Okay. All right. Man, I'm translators. You get some words out of the actual athlete. He's speaking for 45 seconds. A translator, he's like, nah, here's Cliff Notes, brother.
Cliff Notes. The comment section, too, on the press conference, because it was on YouTube. I don't know if they're being completely honest, but they were roasting the translator for not being completely accurate what he was saying.
Oh, I'm sure. Yeah, I'm sure. I mean, I can tell. Look, I'm not fluent in Spanish, and certainly I'm not hearing the Spanish and then the translation. But, man, 30 seconds does not equate to, you know, 5 in Spanish. It does not work that way. But here, at the core, I'm like, the translator's like, listen, man, I don't get paid by the hour, so just let's get this over with. Yeah, let's hear his translator again, Mr. Do My Job and Quit and Leave. Rafael Devers, he was asked where the hell he was going to play. Is he going to play at first? Is he going to play at third? I expect him to be a DH, and Devers, no longer a Red Sox, basically said, I'm going to do whatever they ask me to do. What a world.
I'm here to give my 100%. I don't put any buts. They're the men in charge. I am here to play wherever they want me to play.
Yeah, he was just trying to stick it to them in Boston. That's it. Look, it boils down to he did not appreciate them bringing in Alex Bregman to take his spot. That's it. And the Red Sox, they have to own that part about it. He also has to own being a complete jerk by refusing the way that he did. Well, y'all promised me this and this. Man, this is baseball. This is sports. Guys get hurt every day. People get asked to move positions, not every day, but frequently. I mean, man, as a young player, you're asked, hey, you learn how to play this position, you never know, or we may need you here, you never know. I know now every league had, both leagues have the DH, it doesn't matter as much who's playing defense and defensive substitutions and what have you. But man, there used to be a point in time where even a guy like Big Poppy had to pick up the glove, okay? It's a different world. Manny Ramirez, who's just, I don't know, he's globe-trotting and saying crazy things. He thinks that the Boston Red Sox, that they're the ones who screwed this up, and they were being disrespectful. I mean, David Ortiz basically said the same thing, which was just kind of nuts to me. Yeah, you have to communicate with your players. But if I'm paying a guy $313 million, I don't think asking you to switch positions is the worst possible thing. I want you to listen to Ken Rosenthal. He was on Foul Territory. And this is what he had to say about David Ortiz saying that Devers is, you know, being disrespected.
This all started when they failed to include him in the communication when they were going after Bregman. That's how it all started. And they turned a kid who, well, it's not a kid anymore, he's 28, but they turned a player who they've known since he was 16, who has always had a reputation as kind of a sweet guy, into somewhat of a sourpuss. And that is on them. And this whole situation that they determined they had to rectify, because of course he was going to pollute the minds of their young players, that's on them too. They initiated this with their actions, with their lack of communication. And that is one thing that Ortiz acknowledged, that there was a lack of communication here, quite obviously. I mean, it doesn't take a genius to figure that out. But to me, this is as much, if not more, on the Red Sox than it is Rafael Devers.
Damn. Yeah, possibly. No, I'm not going to go that far. And I'm not sitting in a room. You don't get these stories often. Damn it, we've never had a guy get moved with a $300 million contract like this, unless your name is Alex Rodriguez. And his situation wasn't so much about, I'm not doing this, I'm not playing here. Alex Rodriguez went to the New York Yankees. He's like, Derek Jeter, you play short, I play third. Fine. Alex Rodriguez probably like, I'm better than you anyway, so it really doesn't matter. I don't think we'll have anything like this take place in a long time. There aren't that many guys running around with $300 million contracts that are malcontents. This is just a special situation for Rafael Devers. And I'm pretty sure, like, all of a sudden now he has bosses and he listens to his bosses and he's going to be happy in San Francisco. Just stay out of, stay away from Union Square. Stay away from the Tenderloin District. No reason for him to be over there at all unless he's going shopping, but, good luck to Rafael Devers. I love San Francisco, by the way. Anyway, he didn't want to go thinking about the past. Rafael Devers, he did go into the past, and he decided to thank the fans in Boston. Oh, how sweet.
My message is I just want to thank the Boston fans. They supported me throughout my whole time there, and want to give them thank you.
Yeah, Boston Red Sox fans get to look at another dude just get shipped out the door. Nomar Garciaparra and his OCD, Mookie Betts, and now Rafael Devers. They do have prospects. They don't have to pay them $313 million over the next 10 years. And so I guess you could consider that a good thing. And that's what the general manager said for the Red Sox. Craig Breslow said, listen, man, I can move my money around now.
The opportunity to maybe repackage some of the resources and fill some voids in the roster as early as, approaching this year's deadline, and being really intentional about the environment that we create for these young players to thrive in, then I do think that there is a real chance that at the end of the season, we're looking back and we've won more games than we otherwise would have.
Yeah, look, people will say anything. Like, he's like, okay, I've already admitted I kind of screwed up potentially with the communication, or at least I could humbly evaluate my communication tactics. He could say that. Now he's like, I don't got to pay a guy a lot of money. Well, is that getting y'all any closer to a championship? You just traded away one of the best hitters in the game for maybe an error that you had. I will still say, man, what a poor attitude just to not give it a old college try. He can try as much as he wants now in San Francisco. Johns will probably go to the playoffs and maybe possibly be eliminated if they can muster more offense around him. We'll see. It's the JR Sport Brief Show here with you coast to coast on the Infinity Sports Network. Rafael Devers, all he wants to do is look forward. He wants to leave the past in the past. Well, we're going to look forward as well. We're going to talk about some basketball in the next break. We're going to have a chat with Matt Moore from the Action Network. Man, he could talk to us about everything from Denver also. Well, the Nuggets, obviously. Everything to the national side as well. We're going to have a chat with Matt Moore about this NBA Finals, which appears to be over. We'll talk about this ongoing Kevin Durant saga, where he might end up. Man, we even had Desmond Bane get traded on Sunday as well. And the NBA's been very, very busy, including those Knicks, despite the fact that the NBA Finals are going on right now. We'll have this chat with Matt Moore on the other side of the break. You're locked in. You're listening to the JR Sport Brief Show, coast to coast, on the Infinity Sports Network.
You're listening to the JR Sport Brief.
It is the JR Sport Brief Show here with you coast to coast on the Infinity Sports Network. The NBA Finals are going on. Man, they may end pretty soon. We got coaches that have been fired, teams looking for coaches. We got players who've been traded. We got free agent destinations and guys. It's just a lot going on in the league right now. To talk about what we've seen, what we might see, what we can expect over the next few weeks, as someone who covers all things basketball, writing for the Action Network, Locked On NBA, Locked On Nuggets, National, it is Matt Moore. Matt, good to have you back, man. How are you?
I'm well, man. How are you?
I'm very well. Thanks for taking the time and joining us. How are you enjoying the finals so far?
A great series, man. It's just been really high-level basketball, and it's been fun to see these teams that haven't been on national television as much get a chance to really shine. You're seeing what makes OKC so special with their defense, and the future of Jalen Williams is so bright, and you're seeing this Pacers team that just, you know, manages to stay in these games. It's been a very hard-fought series. It's been a close series. I've had a lot of fun watching this one.
When you think about what we saw last night and even earlier on in the series with Haliburton going down with that leg, yeah, he's going to get an MRI. There's only two games left in the season, if that at all, if we get past Thursday. What are your thoughts on allowing him to push it or play? Is he going to be the world's greatest decoy? What do you think?
Yeah, I mean, it's hard to tell. You know, we'll get the results back of the MRI, maybe. We'll see if they release it or if they leak it. If it's grade two, he can be at best a decoy. If it's a grade one, you know, he might be able to actually play and give him a little bit of a burst. The fact that he was able to play in that second half, even though he, you know, had a rough one, obviously, 2 days of treatment, two full days of treatment, they can work wonders. And we've seen guys like Aaron Gordon off the hamstring be able to actually go out and perform. It just kind of depends on how bad the severity of the strain is, and the fact that, you know, it's not described as a tear, which strain's just a minor tear. But the fact that it's not described that way is positive. We'll see kind of what he's going to look like. He's obviously not going to be 100%. Big question is just going to be, you know, can he be able to shape the game with his passing? Is he going to be able to hit open shots if he's a decoy kind of situation? How much of the Thunder going to adjust knowing he's not 100%? There's just, I think, a lot we don't know right now going into this game six.
We are being joined by Matt Moore from the Action Network. Just this time last year, looked like the Boston Celtics would be running the NBA for quite some years. You got teams like the New York Knicks who appeared to be building up just to compete against the Boston Celtics. What are your thoughts on OKC, though? I mean, they're even younger than the Celtics, and they seem like they got nothing between them but more opportunity and championships.
Yeah, that's kind of the in vogue thing to say right now, is like, how many championships are they going to win? And I'm like, let's get him one first. You got to do the thing once. And then, you know, look, we haven't seen a repeat champion since 2018. And on top of that differential year to year, we also have seen this new CBA come in and really wreck teams' ability to keep guys together. And you're going to see this summer, they're going to hand out big extensions to Chet Holmgren and Jalen Williams. And after they do that, you know, we'll see how long they can stay in that level of tax, how long they can stay at the second apron, because it's going to get real restrictive really quickly for that team. And so I'm not necessarily just like sitting here going, oh, yeah, they're going to win 3 in 5 years. Well, you know, we'll see. I think the best chance of them is next year before those extensions kick back in. But this league is really built for us not to have dynasties right now. And I'm skeptical, even of OKC, even with that upside, too many things. There's too many plot twists in the NBA for me to think it's that simple.
No, man, you talk about what we've seen in the league and people spending money. The Phoenix Suns have been a complete disaster. And we've started to hear about destinations that Kevin Durant would go to, where he would not want to go, who's not interested in a team like the New York Knicks. Where do you think he ultimately would end up, realistically?
I mean, I think Houston's the most likely outcome here because Houston doesn't have to give up a premium value for him, but is able to give up enough to make it worth it for the Suns. The Suns really want a center back in the deal, and they're not going to provide Alperen Şengün. They're not going to, they've just signed Steven Adams to an extension, but they're able, I think, to be able to put together an offer, whether it's Jalen Green, Jabari Smith, Fred VanVleet, to put together an offer that gets Phoenix enough for them to be able to go forward, both with a good team around Devin Booker, if not a great team, and then the ability to trade out of it later. Plus, they own all of Phoenix's draft capital, so they can send back a little bit of alleviation under that deal. The question is going to be, you know, the way I understand it is that front office wants to be more patient, wants to find the right star with their young core. Coaching wants Kevin Durant, wants to try and go for it immediately.
Yeah.
And so that kind of battle, I think, is going to be interesting. If it's not Houston, I think Miami's going to be the second most likely, given the Durant leak that he doesn't want to go to Minnesota last night.
Well, Matt, I know you're based in Colorado. Keep up with the Nuggets. Cover them as well. Russell Westbrook saying, I'll leave the $3 million here. There's still a possibility that he returns. Is he waiting to see if the dust settles amongst, free agency over the next month or so? What's the deal with Russell Westbrook as he just continues to chase a ring somewhere?
Yeah, I think there's a possibility he comes back to Denver. You know, I think for him, he's hoping that Denver runs out of options, and then giving him the taxpayer MLE is their best, kind of their only real choice that they can make. If not, you know, look, he's still going to have suitors around the league. He has had interest, I've been told, from several overseas teams. Doesn't want to do that, wants to continue his NBA career. But, like, the money's going to be pretty substantial and for him to turn down in that kind of a spot versus the NBA. Now, he's made enough, I think he can bypass that. But it'll be interesting, you know, given that both LA teams where he's from, not an option, now with Denver. It's just going to be very interesting to see where he decides is the right fit for him to try and make another run at it.
Yeah. Russell Westbrook is just, we'll see what happens. This is the fun part. What are you looking forward to the most now that we are almost done with the NBA Finals? Obviously, we have the draft coming up and this Kevin Durant situation, and who knows if Giannis will move. It seems kind of quiet on the Western front there. What are you looking forward to the most?
Man, this draft's going to be super interesting because you've got teams like Philadelphia. You've got teams like San Antonio with the number two pick. You've got teams like New Orleans looking to move up. You've got teams trying to move into the Rockets spot at 10. You've got Washington trying to move up. You've got Charlotte open to moving back. There's going to be a lot of action, I think, on draft night as everyone kind of tries to clear their books and get themselves ready for that free agency that starts on July 1st. So I think this NBA draft is going to be pretty exciting, not only with who goes where, but with all the trades that go along with it. Should be a very active week next week, even as the NBA finishes up actually playing games.
Matt Moore joining us here from the Action Network. It seems like on Sunday we got ahead of that with Desmond Bane moving on to the Orlando Magic. It seems like he's going to be a great fit out there with them. What the heck is going on in Memphis, though?
Yeah, Memphis, I think, is just simply dealing with the realities of the CBA. You know, a lot of executives I've talked to have said, you can have two guys, you can't have three. You can't have three guys making huge money long term. It ties you up too much. The repeater is too prohibitive, and the second apron limits you too much. So they're clearing space to give Jaren Jackson his extension. They're going to build around Ja Morant and Jaren Jackson, unless Ja comes to them and says, that's it, I want out, which they're working very hard to try and get that relationship in a good place. They've got Jalen Wells and Zach Edey, young guys. They want to kind of build from there. I don't think this is a teardown. I think it was just the realities of what you have to do under the current CBA.
Man, it stinks. I mean, is Ja Morant reliable, though? Forget all the off-court stuff. Even from a physical perspective, he plays so hard. He's so athletic. He's up in the air. He's down on the ground. Like, can you trust him? I don't know if I would.
Yeah, I mean, look, I think that's a big question. And when he comes up for his next massive deal, there's going to be a lot of questions about whether or not Memphis is willing to commit that money, because it's no longer like an automatic. You just give the best player on your team that money. It's no longer like that. So it's maybe, I think, a big question mark. I think he's motivated to reclaim a spot amongst the elite. I think he's had, obviously, you know, I think things started to go sideways with the off-court stuff, and that led into his conditioning, and that led into his injury problems. But a lot of his injury stuff has been random. It hasn't been like a knee issue consistently. It's been a lot of different things for him, and he is going to have to adapt to playing less physically and not being as breakneck. But I think he can do that. He's skilled. He's gifted enough. He's a great passer. I still have a lot of confidence that Jaw is going to have a great career.
Matt Morris joining us from the Action Network. I don't know what the New York Knicks are doing, Matt. It's like they woke up one day, made a decision, didn't know what they were going to do after that. It's like they're rolling around looking at a map and just everybody's pointing in different directions. They don't know where the hell they're going.
Yeah, the whole situation seems really fraught. You know, I think the players were ready to go to move on from Tibbs, not Josh Hart, but a lot of the other guys. They've got some chemistry stuff that they got to work out too. And that's one of the things that I think is going to be really interesting is that the new coach can't just come in and try and give them better X's and O's. He's got to manage a lot of egos. There's a lot of money, a lot of egos on that team. And they got to balance a lot of it with a lot of politics under a very big magnifying glass in New York. That's why I think it's very difficult to kind of find the right guy for them to hire. And we'll be interested to see whether, you know, who's willing to take on that challenge. They continue to leave out guys that I think they should be looking at. Frank Vogel, Michael Malone. These are guys that have dealt with those kind of situations and won championships with a lot of big egos. It's weird to me that they continue to exclude those guys as they're looking for the next head coach.
Well, Matt, you talk about the parity that currently exists in the NBA. And knowing that we haven't had a team repeat since the Golden State Warriors with Kevin Durant, is there a team that you look at for next year and go, oh, man, they could make a good jump up? Or is it too early given the roster movement that's going to take place?
Yeah, I think it's a little early. I mean, look, I think Orlando is going to be better next year. Obviously, adding Desmond Bane, getting healthy is a big part of the equation for them. But there's a lot of dominoes still hanging out there. Giannis isn't definitely leaving, but he's not definitely coming back. Golden State continues to kind of shop around for big moves. Toronto is looking for big moves. Everyone wants to know what New Orleans is going to do. There's all these teams, I think, facing very uncertain directions with a lot of talent. And whoever comes out of, I think, what's going to be a pretty wild next 3 weeks in the NBA could have an opportunity, I think, to really contend for a title next year.
Yeah, absolutely. The NBA built for parity, not built for super teams at this point in time. Hey, Matt, thank you so much for the time. Where can people follow you and find all of your work with the Action Network and elsewhere?
Yeah, you can follow me on social media at HP Basketball. I've got a Substack you can find over there. I'm on Locked On NBA daily, Monday through Friday, at youtube.com/LockedOnNBA. You can catch my work on the Action Network app at actionnetwork.com.
Hey, Matt, thank you so much for the time. Enjoy the next couple weeks and the next few days, okay?
Anytime, man. Take care.
No doubt about it. That Matt Moore from the Action Network, writer covering all things NBA. It's the JR Sport Brief Show on the Infinity Sports Network, 888-710-4ISN. That's 888-710-4ISN. Yeah, man, we got the Oklahoma City Thunder. They're trying to close out and win a championship two nights from now in Indianapolis, okay? How about this? We're about 30 minutes away from another team trying to close out and win a championship. We got to hit the ice, and we're going to talk about the Stanley Cup Finals matchup that's going to take place, well, about 30 minutes from now. To get an update on everything going on in the world of sports, it's time for a newsflash on the Infinity Sports Network. Here he is. It's Rich Ackerman.
You're listening to the JR Sport Brief.
It is the JR Sport Brief Show here with you coast to coast on the Infinity Sports Network. We are, well, damn it, we got a countdown clock. We're 39 minutes away from the puck getting dropped down in Sunrise, Florida. Yeah, there's Evander Kane. Yeah, Edmonton Oilers, they're trying to stay alive here. And thank you so much to Matt Moore for joining us from the Action Network to talk about what we might see in the NBA, which has just been ridiculously busy despite the fact that the NBA Finals are going on. Even Charles Barkley, he's like, man, I ain't doing no basketball right now. Charles Barkley is currently live on the broadcast here as well as the Florida Panthers are trying to go back to back and win another championship against the Edmonton Oilers. This is crazy. They can clinch the Stanley Cup on home ice. They'd be the first team to go back-to-back since the Lightning did it in 2020 and 2021. And the Oilers, they're trying to be the team that that stays alive. They're trying to avoid being defeated in consecutive years. Stuart Skinner, he's going to be back in action here for the Edmonton Oilers. I don't know if that means that the Panthers are going to come out and score like three goals and four goals right out of the damn gate. But this is what Stuart Skinner had to say about being returned to the net.
Yeah, it's huge. Yeah, feeling good coming into tonight. Definitely know that I have the confidence in my teammates and coaching staff. And yeah, I think there's obviously a lot of belief still.
Oh, there's a lot of belief. Look, man, if you don't win, you're done. You're cooked. This is what he had to say about being benched.
Might sound weird. I felt like I played well. But sometimes that happens. It's just life, especially as a goalie, it can be hard sometimes. But I mean, the process after that is try to shake it off as quickly as I am able to. I wasn't able to for a little bit. I was a little bit frustrated, but it kind of took me a day, and it's just back to work.
Well, yeah, what else is he going to do? He can't do anything but go out there. Yeah, let's listen to somebody else. I can't call this guy a loser, but he could be again in the Stanley Cup Finals, again for the second consecutive year. Connor McDavid, he talked about their ability to bounce back.
I'm excited about the opportunity. You know, as you said, we've bounced back. A lot's been made about that. We talk about that all the time, but for whatever reason, our group doesn't like to make it easy on ourselves and put ourselves in another difficult spot, and it's our job to work our way out of it, and I would expect that tomorrow.
Oh, wow. We'll see. They just show Connor McDavid. He's out here warming up, leads everybody this postseason with 6 assists. Are we getting more? Is he actually going to go out here and get some goals? I don't. Botch, are we getting a 7-7 game here, or are we getting ended tonight?
I sure hope we get a 7th game. It makes it more intense, especially because I have no real rooting favor in this. I don't really care who wins. So I'd like to see some good hockey.
I don't care. Are you an Islanders fan?
Islanders fan. So Panthers, not the greatest, but I don't hate them.
Well, why? Because of the stupid divisions that they have now? Well, that they should have never changed?
We played them in 2016. We beat them then in the playoffs. Other than that, they've just been good the last couple of years, and we've been average at best, so there's been no real competition there.
Yeah, I got no dog in the fight. I don't care either. I just send them back to Edmonton, get going again, and start it up. Chris Knobloch, the head coach here. They give him Charles Barkley more airtime and FaceTime than anybody else. Why not, I guess? Chris Knobloch, this is what he had to say about his team, turning things around and even putting Skinner back in the net.
Stu's been in a lot of high-pressure games. He's played really well. You look at the amount of elimination games he's played. I think there's 6 last year, and every single game that he played in were really solid, if not spectacular, performances. So the game season's on the line. We have a lot of confidence in him.
Yeah, well, we'll see what he does. 3 goals here, 4 goals there. If he starts to stink, he is getting the quick hook. It's going to be that massive hook that they have at the Apollo Theater. They just bring out the cane and just drag the guy right off the stage. Paul Maurice, knowing that they have a chance to go ahead and get this one done, looked at their record, 6-7 in closeout games. That means they're doing the most. That means that they're not getting the job done. That means they're doing extra. That means that Edmonton, obviously, they still have a chance to turn this around and take things back to Canada. This is what he had to say about his team needing to do better.
You've played well, and you've put yourself in a position to eliminate the other team. Well, it's not guaranteed because the other team is pretty darn good. So there's nothing learned where you'd say, okay, now we've figured it out. Because if you figure that out, you'd win next year, you'd win 16 straight, right? It doesn't work like that.
Yeah, maybe in about 3 or 4 hours from now, he'll sound a little happier. And we get it. Job's not done. You still have more work to do. They didn't win the Stanley Cup. They won it last year. That has not a damn thing to do with this go-round. They have another opportunity and a chance to go out there and do it. When you think about this, they won the Stanley Cup on their home ice last year. They have an opportunity to do it again this year. That hasn't been done. My apologies to everybody in Canada again. That hasn't been done since the Oilers did it in 87 and 88. Hey, well, it'd be nice to do so. If you're a fan in South Florida and in Sunrise, you've experienced this already. Why not do it twice? If you're an Edmonton fan, you want to make sure that they get on that plane another 8 hours to make it back to Canada. This is what Matthew Tkachuk had to say about trying to finish this one off at home.
Yeah, we have that advantage. Playing an elimination game at home here again in the situation. It's no secret, cup's in the building. It's going to be the toughest test, biggest game. We're just excited to be back home.
Yeah, we've seen a lot of goals here. A lot of them. Hey, give me seven games. I got no rooting interest in either one of these. I just think Connor McDavid, Draisaitl, one of these guys are going to step up in a big way like we've seen here throughout the course of the series. The puck is going to drop in about 30 minutes from now as they're starting to warm up. And Henrik Botcher, what the heck is Lundqvist? What is in his hair? Like, how much time are they spending in that guy's hair?
He doesn't. I feel like he's the A1 candidate to do Just for Men, right? Get rid of the gray hair.
No, gray hair. What?
I haven't seen him yet, but I'm assuming it's like slick back and looks nice. I see Gretzky. Yeah, nice.
Yeah.
Combed hair.
Yeah, but Henrik Lundqvist, not hair coloring. The hair, the product to keep. I bet you if a strong gust of wind blew by, his hair would not move. It's just his hair is very meticulously. I gotta watch my words here.
I just saw it. It looks solid, to say the
yes.
least.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's 20 people working in his hair.
A whole can of hairspray.
Is that what it is?
Maybe.
Yeah, my God. I know he has watches. When he was with the Rangers, he was selling watches. He didn't do no hair products.
He might have. New York, honestly, I wouldn't be surprised. Like, Lundqvist probably does a ton of stuff. Maybe he invested in some hair brand that solidifies your hair for the whole day.
Okay. Yeah, that guy's. He looked like Johnny Bravo. That's what it is.
Get the blonde wig or the blonde hair in there?
No blonde hair. Just Johnny Bravo's hair just sat up there on the top of his head, and you knew it wasn't going to move. Didn't Johnny Bravo, every 5 minutes, he was combing his hair?
Yes, 100%.
Yeah, that's Henrik Lundqvist. And is he even a full-time part of this? Is he just here for the finals, or what's he doing out here?
I think he jumps in every now and then. He's like one of the – he's like for NBA side, I think he's more like Vince Carter, Dwayne Wade, kind of like that.
Oh, okay. I'm like, what the heck is he doing out here? Now, I've seen Wayne Gretzky, who always looks like he wants to take a nap. I think at this stage of his life, he's just like, hey, they fly me out, they take care of me, they pay me, I'll just show up and say whatever they need me to do. But I think they caffeinate Wayne Gretzky before they go out here and start things up. So Wayne Gretzky, God bless him. We still see him. He's rolling. To me, he will always be the great one. I don't give a damn how many goals Alexander Ovechkin has. I wish he just would quit while he's ahead and stay home. I don't know, but here we have it. I still appreciate Wayne Gretzky. I don't think he adds or says anything that's too groundbreaking, but neither does Shaq. It's beyond. And Shaq also, by the way, he can be funny. I don't think. Have you ever heard Wayne Gretzky say anything funny?
He's funny when he makes fun of other people. So when he makes fun of Bizanti, or Bizanette, I don't know how to say his name, really. But he's on the booth, so they make fun of him for having 7 career goals and getting benched. So he's kind of undercover funny on the booth.
Yeah, I've always found Wayne Gretzky to be as interesting as a slice of bread. But, hey, the more you know there. And let's see how interesting he is tonight. We certainly, hopefully, have a good one. I'm going to root for Edmonton. Why not? Give us 7. We got no hope for it, really. It's slim to none. Hope for a 7th game in the NBA Finals. Might as well try to get a little bit more action out of the NHL, because when it's done, it's done. We're not going to have basketball. We're not going to have hockey again until September, really, October. And so we can wait on the NFL to go through training camps, and we can get through the baseball season, which is still going to go on. By the time all these things finish up, they'll be moving towards their World Series. Sign me up. I'm rooting for the Edmonton Oilers. About 25 minutes, 27 minutes away from puck drop. It's the JR Sport Brief Show here with you coast to coast on the Infinity Sports Network. 888-710-4ISN. That's 888-710-4ISN. Got the Florida Panthers looking to go out here and go back to back. We're going to come back on the other side of the break. And I want to talk to you about some comments that have been made by LeBron James about championships and even Stephen A. Smith about championships and who's good and who's not good and how many championships equate you being great. It's everybody wants to be a winner, right? If you remember a few years ago, Giannis just said, everybody just can't win the championship every year. It doesn't mean you're a failure. Or does it? People look at LeBron James and go, hey, man, 4-6 in the finals? Loser. And numbers are not always what they seem to be. We'll talk about that on the other side of the break. We'll be joined by Bob Nightingale as well from USA Today to talk about some of these big moves or some of the moves we already have seen in Major League Baseball. Talk about some football as well. A lot to do. It's the JR Sport Brief Show, coast to coast on the Infinity Sports Network.